Refresh.
Hey, what's up, you guys? It is your boy, the Muffin Man, coming back at you again with another episode of Refresh Podcast. Man, it has been a long 2 months since we have last been together, and I apologize for the sudden absence of not creating anything or pushing any episodes out. I needed to get a few things in order in my personal life taken care of so that I could continue to build these messages for you guys. I want you to know that I have no interest in stopping podcast now, and it feels so good to be back with you guys. I hope everyone has been incredible. It's the summertime, so people are going on family trips and children are out of school, and so I know there's a lot of really cool things going on this summer, but I do pray that listening to the Refresh Podcast will be one of those things that is a part of your summer. I hope everybody has been well, every man, every woman, every person that's listening around the world. It's your boy, the Muffin Man, back at you again. So without further ado, I present the long-awaited Welltells Episode 3, which is entitled Finding Salvation in the Storm. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to be together. God, I just pray for every person that is listening to this episode of podcast. Father, I pray that you prepare our hearts and our ears to receive a word from you here tonight. Anoint my lips, Lord. Let it not be my words alone, but let it be you speaking through me. God, we just thank you for this opportunity. And God, we give you the highest praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So let's do a little recap, shall we? So in the last two episodes of our series, we were talking about the prophet Jonah. And in episode 1, God had given Jonah instruction for the people of Nineveh. God wanted to bring salvation to their lives because they were living these lives that were full of idolatry and full of all of these evil and wicked practices. And, you know, God wanted to bring redemption to their lives, but Jonah refused because that wasn't the way that he thought things should go. How many times do we do the same thing where God will give us instruction or God will reveal a part of his plan that he wants us to execute, and we're just sitting here like, God, I don't know about that. Like, I don't think that's the way to do it. I mean, that person is pretty mean, man. That person's pretty rude. Are you sure you want me to go and talk to them? In episode 2, Jonah boarded a ship. Because he had went to sleep. Jonah boarded a ship and he went to sleep so he can avoid encounter with people and God. But little did he know that God was stirring up a storm to not only wake him up, but to demonstrate his power in the eyes of the idol worshipers aboard the same ship as Jonah. See, every man on this ship was calling out to their idolic gods that they had handcrafted themselves. But, you know, not a single word that filled the air that they were praying to these gods that created themselves made a difference to their circumstances. Because there was no power in the things that we create. I want to say that again, that there is no power in the things that we create. There's no power found in ourselves. In the book of Zechariah, it reminds us that it's not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, and so it's got to be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led. That's where our power comes from, guys. And here we find ourselves in the book of Jonah today in chapter 1, verses 6 through 17. Now, I know that is a huge grind, but just let's stick together, and we're going to jump on that course together. Now, I want to revisit, like I was talking about, the ending scripture that we left in chapter 2, where the captain of the ship wakes Jonah up in verse 6, and he says, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God, that perhaps your God will be concerned about us, so that we will not perish." Now, we see here that the captain here is making a move out of desperation, that all the other people have called out to their gods and nothing has changed about this storm. Right away, we notice that if we look at the context and exactly how the captain says this, that he uses a little g god when he talks about the god of Jonah. He doesn't use a proper noun of God, which we know is when it is in reference to the one true God, the God of Israel. Whenever we see the little g god, it's in mention to like idolatry and false gods. And so this shows us that the captain doesn't quite recognize of the power or of the authenticity of the God that Jonah serves. And so, we see that here that he recognizes. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself, guys. Still getting back in the saddle, baby. Mistakes and disobedience. Okay, yeah, that's where we're at, man. So check this out. This shows us that the captain doesn't recognize the power that Jonah represents. But even in his mistakes, even in Jonah's mistakes and disobedience, he is still a representative of heaven. See, mistakes and disobedience doesn't disqualify us from representing heaven, but it is important to notice the importance of fixing these things, that we have to repent and we have to obey and we have to move on from mistakes, because these things disrupt the flow of God in our lives and it makes it difficult to hear the voice of God and to minister to others. My pastor also often tells me that when we pour into ourselves, we'll pour out into those that we minister to. So it's important to get those things straight inside of us so that, you know, we don't pass those things on others. In verse 7, it says that each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots so that we will learn on whose account this calamity has struck us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Now, I was, you know, quite curious. I've seen this term a lot used in the Bible about casting lots, but I wasn't incredibly familiar with what that exactly meant. So I looked it up, and casting lots is involved in a thing called cleromancy, and I probably said that wrong, but a cleromancy is a form of sortation. It's casting of lots in which an outcome is determined by means that normally would be considered random, such as the rolling of dice, but that are sometimes believed to reveal the will of God or other universal forces. And you can't see my fingers, but I'm quoting here, other universal forces and entities. So these guys, these sailors, they're rolling their dice, trying to figure out whose fault it was and who was setting, who was upsetting their God so that this storm was terrorizing their lives, you know? And whenever they threw their dice and then, you know, they threw they're casting their lots. Their lots fell on Jonah. So they all looked at Jonah in verse 8 and they tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? They're basically telling Jonah here in verse 8, spill the beans, homie, you've obviously done something wrong. They want to know everything about him. In verse 9, Jonah says to them, "I am Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Now, even in his funk, because this is where we're going to call Jonah's whole shebang, that he's running from God and he's disobeying God and, you know, he's trying to do his own thing. We're going to call it his funk. So even when Jonah is out here in his funk, he's still pointing to God. You know, he says, "I fear the Lord God of heaven, the maker of the sea and the dry land." This response shows that Jonah is fully aware of the storm that is coming from God. That he even mentions that he made the sea, that the creator has power over the creation. Now, although at this point, it is possible that Jonah had repented for running from the instructions of the Lord and was now back to operating in his anointed power, but from above. It's possible. It's possible. But in verse 10, it says, "Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, 'How could you do this? for the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Now it says that the I want you to see that the unbelievers in the presence of Jonah understood that what was happening was wrong. That's good stuff. That's interesting right there, that the unbelievers, they understood that what was happening, what was wrong. In verse 11, it says, "So they said to him, 'What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?' For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy." What will we do? When the storm becomes increasingly stronger, the sailors find themselves seeking a solution. And you know, oftentimes the same is exactly true in our lives, guys. The storm eventually takes our focus from the problem and it shifts it to searching for a solution. Focusing solely on the problem prepares the person or persons enduring the storm for destruction. If you had a water leak, you wouldn't just sit there and be like, "Man, I have a water leak. I really don't know why I have a water leak. Where's this water coming from? Why is there a hole? What created this hole?" And if you sit there thinking that, before too long, like things are going to be ruined or you're going to be flooded and you're going to have all this water. But a person, he has to come to a place that if there's a hole or if there's a water or if there's a leak, they're going to get a bucket or they're going to find a way to seal the hole or get rid of the water. You know, but if we just sit there and we're so focused on the problem that we don't search for the solution, we are preparing ourselves for destruction. In verse 12, Jonah says to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you." Now, in preparation for this episode, I was reading through the Enduring Word commentary, and I found some really cool things that I want to share with you. So huge shout out to the Enduring Word commentary. I totally give credit to them for everything I'm about to share with you. This is what I found in these commentaries. It says that Jonah was willing to sacrifice his life to save everyone on the ship. Now, we may consider what his motives might have been. Now, these are some possible motives that Jonah possibly had for wanting to do this and coming to this solution. First one is perhaps it was compassion for the sailors, that he was seeing the desperation of these sailors, or the sailors panicking, and he was filled with compassion for them. And we know that Jonah lacked compassion for the Ninevites, that whenever God wanted to redeem them, that there was a lack of compassion in the heart of Jonah. Jonah didn't just say, "God, that's an amazing idea. God, let's go and bring redemption to their lives. God, let's go and bring this transforming love, this transforming power that you have, that you want to save their lives." That there was a lack of that compassion inside of Jonah, and he didn't have that. So we see that possibly God's developing these things within Jonah for this sailors for something that he may need at a later time to minister to the Ninevites. And so perhaps it was compassion for these sailors. Perhaps it was a desire to be forced into complete dependence upon God alone. I mean, after all, there's no safer place than casting yourself totally upon God. That in the storm, that Jonah came to a place where he's like, "You know what? The only way we're going to make it out of this, the only way that I'm going to make it out of this storm, this perfect storm that is brewing, these waves that are incredibly strong, and these winds that are at all time, you know, really, really strong, and you know, the only way I can get out of this is just fully relying on you, God. And there is no safer place to be than just coming to where you are." Perhaps it was a feeling that anything was better than his continual resistance against and running from God. That Jonah was like, "You know what? Just throw me into the sea, man. If I drown, I drown. You know, if the storm destroys my life, you know what? It's better than what I'm doing right now. It's better than my resistance from God. It's better than me running from him. You know, let me just go to where he is." Perhaps because he had already truly repented, that if this is the case, it illustrates that repentance is not only a matter of heart and mind, but also a matter of action. That if Jonah had came to a place where of repentance, which repentance is you turn your back and you walk completely the opposite direction of the sin and of the mistakes and of the wrong choices and the things that you were a part of, and you're moving forward. So if this is the truth here and this is what's going on, then not only did he decide in his heart and his mind that he was going to turn away, but also he was applying it to his very physical appearance. But we see here in verse 13, after Jonah had recommended that they throw him overboard, it says that the sailors decided that instead of doing what Jonah's plan was, they decided they would make a desperate attempt to reach land, that they were trying to row themselves to dry land through this storm. But the storm was too mighty, and they were not successful in their attempts. In verse 14, it says that, "Then they called on the Lord and said, 'We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us. For you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased.'" I just want to point out that the sailors are praying to God. Like, they're not praying to their gods. They're praying to the God. And dude, that is so, oh my goodness, that is incredible. The sailors are praying to God. They're saying, "Don't kill us for throwing your prophet, the man that represents you, into the storm. May you be pleased from doing this." That the sailors were aware of the reverence that followed the man of God, but they were also acknowledging the one true God for the very first time in their lives. They weren't calling out to their man-made gods, but they were calling out to the God that made man. Ooh, that's good. That ain't even in my notes, y'all. That's free. In verse 15, it says that, "So they picked up Jonah and they threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging." Oh, Snapchat. Let's go on to 16. "And then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows." Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. The sailors, the captain, the men who worshiped their man-made gods, they all experienced the power of the one true God, the creator of all things, the one who governs the sea, and they found salvation in the storm. That it says that they begin to develop a holy reverence for God, because that's what the term "to fear the Lord" means, is a holy reverence for God, an awareness of God's presence. And they offered a sacrifice to him and made vows. And in verse 17, it says, "And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights." Now, we're going to put a pin in that. We're going to talk more about verse 17 in next week's episode. But here's what I want to leave you with today. I want to ask you, what kind of challenge does this message present to your life? I want you to think about it. What kind of challenge does this message present to your life? I want to ask you some questions today. My first question to you is, are you running from God? Is there something that he showed you? Did you receive some kind of confirmation and you didn't like the outcome, and you're afraid of what God wants to do in your life, so you're running from God? Or maybe you're actively disobeying God right now. Is there a sin in your life that needs to be exposed so that you can be healed, so that you can be restored, so that you can be corrected and move on with your life? Do you need this correction so that the storms raging inside of you can be calmed? If this is you, I encourage you to find your pastor or your leader and confess what's going on in your life. It's a difficult process of restoration, to be corrected, to be told what you're doing is wrong, and to expose the sin that you're ashamed of in your life. But I'm speaking from experience that it's worth it, and don't give up. Trust the process, that you will appreciate that you spoke out about the sin and that you exposed it, that you shined a light on it. If you're running from God, stop. He's going to be wherever you go. He will stir up storms to get your attention. You'll either come to him slightly busted up or super busted up, and the choice is yours. If God wants to do something in your life, you don't have to be afraid of what that looks like. When you're abiding in God and being obedient, you will find joy in those things. You will find provision. And the process is challenging, but it is rewarding. That God's going to call you to do something that is far greater than anything you can ever do in your own power, because that brings you to a place to where you're fully having to depend on Him to do those things. And I promise you that God will begin to line up opportunities for you to be equipped and prepared for those moments. You'll find that salvation in the storms you're facing. I want you to know that there's somebody that will find salvation in the storms you're facing. Somebody needs to hear your story and what God has done in your life. Somebody needs to hear how you made mistakes but found redemption. Somebody needs to hear how you needed to be corrected. And I want you to know that when you surrender your broken life to God, not only will you find salvation in your storms, but there are those around you who will turn from their idols, who will believe less in good vibes, less in crystals, less in predictions, less in positivity, less in man-made philosophy, and they will turn to King Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this message today, God, that we have the ability to find salvation in the storms that we face. And God, that the storms that we endure, Lord, whenever we are redeemed, whenever we are restored, whenever we have the power of God inside of us and we're going through these storms, that there are people that are in those storms with us that will find salvation because of the life that we live that represents you. God, I just pray for every man, every woman, every pair of ears that is listening to this message today, Lord, to challenge us and encourage us, God. Father, I pray for the person who is running from you. God, I pray that you would place a hedge of protection around them. Let there never be a place they go that you aren't, Lord. Prepare people to speak into their lives. Prepare songs to be heard, signs to be seen, scriptures to be read, books to be read, Lord, that it would begin to feed their souls, that it would feed their hearts, God, and that they would come back to you. God, I pray that if there is somebody listening to this that has sin that needs to be exposed in their lives, God, I pray that those sins would be exposed, that light would be shined on what they do in the darkness, God, and that correction would be able to be ushered in, and that they would go through the process of being corrected, that they can be healed, that they can be realigned on the path that you have for their lives, that the secret sins would no longer destroy their lives and keep them from the plans that you have for their lives and their anointings, God, and their gifts that you have for them, that they would no longer be disabled because of these secret sins, but that they can find healing in those things, God. God, I pray that if there is somebody here that is afraid of what you want to do in their life, Lord, because it's a lot bigger than them, it's scary, Lord. It may require them to relocate. It may require them to quit a job. It may require them to do whatever that looks like in their scenario. But God, I pray that you would remind them, Lord, that you are preparing them for something that is far greater than anything they can ever imagine, Lord, that if they sell out to you, God, if they abide in you, Lord, if they surrender the entirety of their will and their life in your hands, God, that you will not mishandle it, but God, that you would build it, because you are the potter and we are the clay, and we just fully, completely trust you. God, I pray that the reminder would be set inside of us, Lord, that there is somebody that needs to hear about the storms that we face, because they will find salvation in the storms. God, I pray that those people would turn from idolatry, that they would turn from the alternatives of Jesus Christ, and that they would realize that the alternatives cannot calm the storm, but only you can, King Jesus. And we just give you the highest praise because you really are so good. God, I pray that you would be given the glory in this message, that you would be given the glory in our lives and everything we do and everything we say. We just give you the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Refresh Podcast, where Christ goes before us so we can give you another refreshing word. This has been your boy, the Muffin Man, saying keep it fresh, have a good day, and God bless. I love you guys so much.